The basic algorithm is that an attorney has a duty to protect medical records. In the rush of things, when we're trying to prove up reasonableness and necessity, we're trying to prove up liability, we're trying to get the records, we're trying to produce the records, sometimes we lose sight of the fact that these records that we're dealing with to prove a claim are very, very personal, are very, very personal. In Ginsburg versus Fifth Court of Appeals, the Dallas Court of Appeals held that basically you can't use privilege as a sword and a shield, all right? You can't file a lawsuit claiming a personal injury, say a psychological injury, and deny claiming patient-physician privilege, deny the opposing side the records, the medical records pertaining to that claim, that they need to challenge the claim. You can't do that. Basically, when you file, and what we all take in is this sort of generalized concept that if you file a lawsuit, well, you waive all your privilege to all of your medical history. No, you don't. You don't. What we're going to talk about is the fact that the pleadings define the scope of discovery. This ties into a long paper that I've talked about for years now on the concept of scope of discovery, but it ties in to all aspects of discovery, and particularly this. When I first started out, I did comp cases, correct cases. Workers' compensation is long gone. But what the standardized pleading was is that the plaintiff has suffered an injury to the physical structure generally and nervous structure of their body. All right? Just cover the waterfront. The physical structure and nervous system generally. I thought that was pretty cool. Got me by a number of years. But as we see with 18001, things evolve. People explore different concepts, different defenses, different offenses. Well, what happens when you plead the plaintiff has suffered an injury generally to the physical structure and nervous system of their body? You have placed in controversy the plaintiff's entire medical history. No bueno. No bueno. See, you've got this tension. If you're a plaintiff's attorney and you've got the case and you're trying to figure out what is the injury, does the plaintiff even know the full extent of their injury? Oftentimes, you know, the plaintiff will tell you one thing, you start getting the medical records and you go, mother of God, this person has a traumatic brain injury. They didn't even talk to me about that. Because they don't know. They're fixated on maybe a broken bone or something like that, but they may have some neurological injury that they have no idea that they have. So the plaintiff's attorney wants to be very cautious. They don't want to miss something, so they plead broadly. The unintended consequence of that is that now you have placed all of the medical history in controversy. Why is that important? What you want to do, and what's my paralegal of nearly 30 years now, said, how far do you think you'll, how many slides you got, Paul? I said, it's really not a long PowerPoint, 30. She says, how many do you think you'll get through? I said, three. And that's where we are, because I'm leaving the PowerPoint now, all right, until we get to the end. Is you do not waive your patient-physician privilege for things that are not pled, that are not in contention. I cite earlier, there's a case, N. Ray Drews. It's my favorite case. It's my favorite case. And let's talk candidly here. Who are the most vulnerable plaintiffs in a car wreck case? You might think a child. You might think somebody who, for one reason or another. I'll tell you who it is. It's women. And you know why? Because women have gynecological and obstetric records that men don't. Why is that important? Because lawsuits often aren't about justice. I'm a big fan of All-Star Wrestling.